You're listening to Chasing Prophecy Radio, where we discuss anything and everything beyond the scope of normal. On UPRN Talk Radio, FM 107.7 in New Orleans and FM 105.3 in Mississippi.
If it's unexplainable, we're talking about it.
Whether you're a believer or a skeptic, we cover everything where the unknown becomes the known. And now, here are your hosts, Jenny Nicasio and Tom Callaway.
Welcome to Chasing Prophecy on FM 107.7 in New Orleans and 105.3 in Henderson Point, Mississippi, where we discuss anything and everything beyond the scope of normal. I'm Jenny Nicasio, and I just want to let you know tonight is a great night because tonight I'm excited to welcome Chasing Prophecy's newest co-host, Tom Callaway. I think I screwed it up again.
You got it. Co-host. You got it.
Got it. Okay. Today he is he's not new to the paranormal and supernatural. He was a guest last week, and he's no stranger to all seeing things weird. So, welcome, Tom.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for asking. We had a lot of fun last week, and let's keep it going. Let's grow this channel. Let's have everybody become invested in Chasing Prophecy. And I'm here to do that too. So for all the loyal listeners out there, yes, Tom Callaway, come from a history, decorated history, I should say, of paranormal encounters, experiences, stories, whatever you want to call it. But I'm here for you. I'm here for the viewers. And I want everybody to know the best ability is availability. And if anybody wants to reach out to me, tell me their own story, talk to me, get any kind of info, you don't have to wait till Tuesdays to get a hold of me. Reach out. I have a generic email box labeled paranormal@gmail.com. Email that, you'll get a hold of me. I write back to everybody because you took the time out of your day to message me. I'm going to go ahead and answer you too. We need to talk about this stuff. It's us carrying this flag, right? It's us moving this train forward. We have to keep talking about the paranormal because once we're quiet, we get shoved into a corner until something happens. But you know what? That something always does happen, doesn't it? It always happens where something comes out in mainstream and us, the, you know, Jenny, myself, people like us, we're always, yeah, we knew the whole time, you know, all of that. Yeah. But we need to grow the community. We need to break walls down. We need to have a safe space. Are we allowed to say a safe space? Everybody else says it. We're going to take it for our own, right? We need a paranormal safe space. We want to talk about weird stuff. We want to talk about cool stuff. We want to talk about conspiracy stuff. And we're going to talk about all of it. And I am excited and I cannot wait to, you know, keep going with Jenny. So Jenny, thank you so much for asking. And it's my pleasure to be here.
Oh, I'm so glad to have you. We need a new start. And I just want to shout out to Cindy out there and just make sure if you are in the chat, we want to hear from you. So make sure you comment, ask questions for our guest. And I'm so excited about this. I think this is going to put us in a whole new direction. And I love your energy and enthusiasm. We need that. And especially now, because there's so much stuff going out there in the paranormal, and there's a lot of weird stuff that's happening. You're right.
Yeah.
You are so
It's growing. Right. There's more and more evidence every day.
Yeah. I'm so excited to have you.
Absolutely.
So what's going on tonight with who do we have?
Yes. So tonight we have Sir Blake Sinclair, a spiritualist, alternative healing, expert in UFOs, ghosts, entities, shamans. I love a good shaman right there. CEO at Ultima Unlimited, life coach, Grand Knight Commander of the Equestrian Order of Michael Archangel.
What was that?
Yeah, and Goodwill Ambassador at Royal House of Gassen. I want to make sure I said that correctly, but a wonderful person who's authored two books. We'll get into that. We'll get into some questions for him because this gentleman has a fantastic story. Comes from a lineage in the paranormal, which you don't come across that too often. So Sir Blake Sinclair will be our guest, and we can't wait to bring him on and pick his brain about all things paranormal.
Yeah, so welcome to Chasing Prophecy, Sir Blake.
Hey, it's an honor to be here.
Great. So tell us about your background. I mean, I've read a lot about it, and I'm sure Tom has. So give us a little quick overview.
Just my bio, you mean?
Yeah, just tell us a little bit about what, you know, how did you become a surf, for one? We'll start there.
Oh, okay. Well, that started last year. I met Prince Gyarios. He's a direct heir of the Gassanet dynasty empire. Goes back thousands of years. And their ancestors were known as the Christian kings of the Middle East. So I met him at a charity event. We had a nice talk. I gave him some of my books. And a month or two later, I got an email from his one of his people contacting me to join to be a knight. So I just joined, and I started working with his group and his charitable group. And after a while, 2 months later, I became promoted to a Grand Knight Commander. That covers all of California, the southwestern states. So I'm in charge of recruiting people like knights and dames into the order.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it's a great order. It's a very distinctive order, and it's doing a lot of good things around the world. So we support Prince Gyarios on all of his international support, humanitarian efforts, and the cultural efforts. And he's got a lot of good plans for us.
That's so exciting.
Very exciting.
That's cool.
Very exciting.
Yeah, so we're going to go ahead, Tom. You can start off with the first round.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Baton passed. There we go. So I truly appreciate it. Like, let's take a look at the first thing that popped off to me when I was reading about you and learning about your books and things like that was your father being a top secret photographer in the Army, stationed at White Sand, New Mexico during the Roswell crash, and developing the pictures of the Roswell incident. You had mentioned your father was sworn to secrecy about that. I've never come across anybody who has that something like that close to them. You know what I mean? In their whole family, you know. So can you talk to me about some of the things he has mentioned to you about that, and maybe something that the casual, you know, ufologist would not know?
Well, he's pretty close-lipped with those kind of things. In fact, I didn't find out until many, many years later. I was almost a young adult. And I was watching a program about Roswell, and I noticed my father behind me smoking a cigarette, and he's kind of like chuckling and said, you know, I was there. I said, you got to be kidding. You know, all these years, you didn't say anything. All of a sudden, now you say it. I knew he was doing some kind of photography in the military, and he would have pictures of like a V-2 rocket retrieved from the Nazis during the war. So mm-hmm. I guess I'd film things like that and develop pictures, but they would develop it upside down. And he said that when he was developing it, he had a buddy say, hey, those are the pictures from the crash. And he was there during the time frame of the crash. He wouldn't say anything about it, but knowing my father, I'm sure he took a little peek at it because he's always listening to Ark Bell and probably living through some memories there. But that was a kind of a cool thing to be part of. And plus my own experience, too. I mean, he had that part of it. And then later on in years, when I was close to 10 years old, I had my own experience that I didn't remember initially until I went through a state of hypnosis many years later on. Because there was one time I was at a farm and I was missing for an hour in Fairfield. And I remember going back, but I don't know what happened in between. So years later, I decided to study hypnosis, regression hypnosis. And I was surprised. Like, I saw myself as a young kid with extraterrestrials on either side of me. Wow. And I was shocked. Wow. And the instructor, she was way in the front, I was way in the back. She was clairvoyant. And she tuned into me and she says, do you have something to share? And I don't know how she did it, but she tuned into my hypnosis. Mm-hmm. And she saw that abduction experience. So that was kind of another connection I had. And even I had another hypnosis before that. My first one, actually, we did a past life regression. I was just doing it for fun. And within a short time, I saw myself kind of go back in time to ancient mm-hmm. Egypt. And I was like some kind of royal figure living there in the kind of desert area. But I didn't like that life. So I gave it up mm-hmm. and I became a healer. So I kind of followed this in a hypnotic state. And then this person worked at the, with me, I was working in the sleeping temple. And at the end of my life, I had a big beard and I died. But interesting enough, you know, instead of having angelic beings come to me, I saw these extraterrestrial beings greet me to bring me to the next level of dimension, next reality. So you have that, then you have the encounter in this lifetime, then you have my father as part of that, you know, history. Yeah. So I think that, and this all this connection. And I've always been fascinated as a kid, always looking at the sky, looking at the stars, feeling that there's some yearning for some kind of connection. And so now I understand why.
That is amazing. How old were you when you were abducted?
That was probably close to 10 years old, between 8 and 10 years old.
That had to be horrifying for a little kid.
Yeah. Well, but they put anesthesia or hypnoanesthesia, so you forget everything. So it's through the hypnosis you remember it as an adult seeing that. So then that makes sense. But yeah, I'm sure I was terrified at the time, but I just don't remember the event. So I'm thinking that one day maybe I should go back and get another hypnosis and go deeper and follow that the situation where it went.
Tom?
How old were you when you went to the regression, when you went through with regression therapy?
That one, I was probably an adult already, probably in the past college, probably graduated from college, so I was in 20s.
20s, okay. So you went back in time over several years when you went back for the past or for the regression therapy and hypnosis. But everything you said, you know, checks a lot of boxes for a typical alien abduction, right? The missing time. You didn't remember anything.
Right.
And through hypnosis later in your life, you were able to recall some of the facts. Let me put it this way. Would you ever go back to go deeper and find out maybe the reasoning why they chose you?
Yeah. I would definitely do that. You know, I'm surprised I didn't do that earlier, but I've just been busy with life. But the thing is, I've been connected with so many people. Either they had an abduction experience or they're a witness. They see the UFO. And so many people are drawn to me. And it's amazing. It's amazing. Now it all makes sense. You know, it's all that connection to probably some species that were connecting us to before and uniting us in some way.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we all hear about different theories about alien abductions and whether they are us or just interdimensional and extraplanetary. But they seem, and it's funny, right? They seem to love us. You know what I mean? They seem to love us. And, you know, children to animals to adults, no discrimination. They'll take whoever they feel like it. But I would be very interested to hear from you later if you go back and do even more of a deep dive. Maybe what the plan was when they came for a child, you know, that way, which is fascinating. But I love hearing people's stories.
Yeah, you do.
Really across people's like abduction stories. Usually you'll hear people talk about, I know someone who was abducted, but rarely do you get the person themselves, which is fascinating. So I definitely appreciate you sharing that with all of us and the wonderful listeners today, you know, with that.
From my opinion, I mean, because I not just interact with the extraterrestrial beings, I had experience to interact with different beings, you know, even like the angelic beings, the ascended masters, and all kind of guiding me in a certain direction. So I think that they're planting seeds of consciousness to kind of help me to see the future in a different way and use people like us to bring more unity to the planet, to educate people more about the body, because we're heading towards this kind of a destructive path. Mm-hmm. And from what I know, that a lot of people are having kind of similar experience globally because they see the direction we're heading. So you mentioned that they are positive, but there are negative ones too.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of negative ones. Those
behind the scene, but I like to focus on the ones that are more positive. The ones that to me are more spiritual. The one that I saw in my abduction, they don't seem like the grays. They seem very tall and slender, more like the Asians. Really big eyes, kind of like a praying mantis. And when I was young, I was fascinated by praying mantis for many years, obsessed with praying mantis. If
that's
I look at
it, I'm
so excited. And so when I saw that species, okay, now it all makes sense. I think they even call them a mantis species. So there's a hierarchy of them, from the grays, and some are healers and others are just the workers, just like us, you know.
how many did you see, like, when you were past regression? How many were there? Do you recall?
I just saw two of them, one on each side.
Just the two?
Yeah, yeah.
Could you tell if they were male or female? Or were they, you know, what do you call that?
Well, you can't tell. They both look the same. I wouldn't be able to tell.
Were they clothed? Did they have some kind of clothing on?
I didn't see any clothing. If they had it, it was like really skin tight, but they seemed very skinny, seemed very natural. I didn't see any clothes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they communicated with you solely by telepathically, or did they actually have language?
No. Well, when I saw the image, it was just doing a short segment of the hypnosis. We were practicing on each other as students. Mm-hmm. And so we had a short time. But normally in these kind of things, it's always telepathy. Even when I communicate with the ascended beings, it's through telepathy. If you don't talk, we just, it's all a thought process.
Wonderful.
Go ahead, Tom.
I'm going to ask you this question. I've talked to other people who have had abduction stories before. And even up until the time I was talking to them, they still felt there was some sort of connection. Right. There was still some sort of connection with their abductors. Do you feel any sort of conscious connection that you might have with them, or maybe even a physical one? Or do you still, you know, do you think that they're still out there watching you?
I think there's still a connection. I mean, I'm always yearning to look in the sky, not so much more like I was younger. I mean, after when I had that awareness of that hypnosis, then it gave me an answer. So, okay, now I know why. But I know they're there. And I think they're kind of keeping track of me. But right now, I think I'm working on different levels with them through these other people who had the similar experiences. And also the angelic realm. They're all working on the same, I think, on the same team or the same side, same message, basically.
Wonderful. Have you ever contacted anybody that had the same experience with the same beings as you?
No, I didn't know. It's just, actually, to tell you the truth, I never even talked about these things publicly before until last week. I had a show last Monday. It's my first time talking publicly about it. So it's still kind of nerve-wracking to talk about it, you know, because it's something like a taboo. You only want to talk to close friends. Yeah. Not even close friends, you know, just my wife. Right. Maybe.
It seems like we're in a time where everybody's talking about it because it's so everybody's, it's on the news, disclosures.
Speak about it.
It's the perfect time for you. Yeah. It's perfect. Yeah. It's perfect. There's like one after the other, huh, Tom? There's just like, you just turn on the radio or TV or on TikTok or YouTube. Yeah, they're everywhere.
Yeah. You can't get through 5 TikToks without seeing something conspiracy, paranormal, UFO related, or cryptid, which is my favorite. But you can't get that, and it's everywhere. Disclosure has done a great service, whether it was the direct or indirect result of it. You know, it's out there. There's more people talking about it, and you know, I'm involved in a meetup group of people. You know, Blake, like you, who, hey, something odd happened to me and I want to talk about it with like-minded people. And, you know, maybe you want, you know, people that'll actually take your word for it, people that'll listen to you tell everything. And that has grown leaps and bounds. And we were actually on the cover of the Wall Street Journal, you know, in terms of meetup groups and the story, this was about a month ago, but the story of those walls that, you know, coming down and things like that, because, you know, you can only be quiet for so long. And I think as the generations are turning, then, you know, people 45 and below, we're not doing the disclosure thing. You know what I mean? Or we're not doing the secrecy thing. We're doing disclosure. We want to talk about it. And you put, you know, we have pretty powerful computers in everyone's pockets now with decent cameras on. You know, we're just catching more things. And I think there's going to be too many things for people to hush anymore. So I'm very happy you decided, I'm getting off my soapbox here, but I'm so happy you decided to come and talk your story, because It's only going to help you. And you know what you're going to do? You're going to help somebody else who might be listening to this show, who might be in a chat, who might come across this later. You're going to help them to feel confident and comfortable to say, hey, I'm going to talk about mine. You know what I mean? So I have to applaud you right there for that.
Well, but it's scary too, because being a business person, you know, mm-hmm. and, you know, I have a lot of things, people like watching me, you know, I have to be careful. Mm-hmm. But now I'm at the point in my life that I evolve consciously at a very high level. And, you know, these things are happening, and whether you want to hear it or not, it's going to come forth.
Yeah, it is.
And it's all about empowerment, you know.
Exactly. And speaking of the chat, we have a question from Cindy Simpson. Do you know of any of your family members that may have experienced abductions?
You know, I wouldn't be surprised if my sister or my siblings were. I know that one time I did a hypnosis on her myself, and I think she recalls seeing some type of being in a flying saucer or something like that, a spaceship. Oh. You know, and I myself as a child had many experiences of like astral travel, just like floating around, and so I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, that I'm just the only one, but she has some memories like that.
So do you have any trauma from that encounter?
You know, I think I had more trauma from my parents. Meeting them was probably like a lifesaver. So thank you for taking me. Yeah, really. It was a very terrible childhood that I had.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Parents, yeah. But, you know, it helped me to become the person I am today. As a kid, you kind of feel bad about it. But as an adult, as you look back on it, you realize that, you know, your parents did the best they could with what they had. And you grow, and then you just don't repeat the same thing again.
Yeah, exactly. Tom?
For sure. So you briefly touched on before Ascended Masters, and I just wanted to talk a little bit about your experiences with them. And for somebody, you know, that wouldn't necessarily be a lot of my realm. Could you give me maybe a layman's definition of Ascended Masters and your interactions with them?
Well, it's like an individual, like a spiritual master, and they achieve mastery on earth. And so they figure out how to break the code for the karma, the karmic cycle, so they don't have to, by default, come back on earth and recycle to have reincarnation to be rebirthed again. Mm-hmm. So those masters, many of them are Tibetan Buddhist masters, but there are many, you know, ascended beings. And so when they break that cycle, they're able to exist on the other realm, and they can also materialize in this physical realm as well. So, which means that they don't die, they attain immortality. So these beings are working with individuals who mm-hmm. achieve a certain level of mastery to guide them to greater mastery, to help humanity, to impart wisdom. So I've been working with many masters for many years, including like Kuan Yin, including like Buddha, Gautama Buddha. And there's so many of them. The most recent one, I guess I wouldn't call her like ascended master. She's more like an avatar. She's an Indian saint. And she's ascended many, many, many years ago. But she appeared to me about 2 years ago in a visionary dream. And mm-hmm. So they call her Sri Ananamayima. And she was one of those that when she was born, she was able to speak already. And she knew wisdom that she brought from the other side. She brought it over to this side. Most saints, most gurus, they go through a training period. She didn't have to do that. She knew everything already. She was teaching already. And she knew a lot of different spiritual teachings from different religions. And people from different religions would come to her because they could relate to her. Like some people would be like a Hindu saint. They can only talk about Hinduism. But she talked about everything. So she came to me in a very clear, vivid dream. And she told me that I needed to meet this person who happens to be one of my Facebook friends. But I didn't know anything about him. All I knew was that he was a musician. But she said, yeah, I should learn from him. And I should learn through his music, his kirtan music. And through that process, I would learn to understand her wisdom and her love. So then I contacted a guy, and his name is Acharya Mangananda, and mm-hmm. Had dinner with him in Marin County in San Rafael with another friend. And it turns out that he's the direct disciple of hers. He lived at her ashram before, and he's in charge of spreading her teachings. So he is the ideal person, and I had no clue about that. So that's how you verify these things. And a lot of people can say, oh, I'm connected to these masters, and then it's something from the figment of the imagination. But these things are really specific. And it turns out that he's teaching me the method to reach her in terms of understanding the wisdom and her message of love, her message of devotion. And so through this special music, it's a kirtan music, it's kind of a Hindu devotional music, I learned to connect with her even more. And he taught me a meditation practice to help me connect with her. And ever since then, she's been coming to me, guiding me in my spiritual development. But she's one of those very high level, I would say she was higher than like a ascended master, more like an avatar. But I do have a lot of ascended masters like the Kuan Yin, Mother Mary, beings like that, that they come to guide me. And it seems like depending on where I'm at in my life, different ones will guide me. You know, there was a time that Jesus was guiding me quite a bit. But there's so many, even the Yellow Emperor from China. And interestingly enough, I met the direct descendant of the Yellow Emperor a couple of years ago. I was presenting at a Taoist convention talking about mysticism. And I met this guy that was attending my workshop, my presentation. He wore like a golden robe. It looks really regal, really good looking guy, long hair. It looks like a Asian version of Jesus. And then we had a banquet, and we sat in the same table. And I just started to talk to him because I felt his energy was something royal, regal, and divine. Mm. And we started talking, and then I found out he was a direct descendant. Goes back a couple of thousand years ago in China. That emperor was the first emperor that united China, and he was responsible for that. He wrote books that set the foundation for traditional Chinese medicine and the also like feng shui,
qigong,
that affected the future of healing in the East. And so this guy, I met him, and I guess he had a lecture about the dragon pearl. So in a lot of Chinese art, you'll see a dragon with a claw, and there's a little ball, it's a mystical ball. Mm. Well, that's the dragon pearl. And based on the reality, so dragon represents the emperor, and this the ball was something that was given to the emperor. So before he ascended, and there was a whole program, I think, on the History Channel about the Yellow Emperor who ascended into the heavens with this dragon being. So he met this dragon being who gave him these balls. And there are like seven of them. They're mystical balls with a lot of power. And through some process, you can activate them to give you power for being a emperor or other mystical power. So he had this given to his grandson, and they kept it in the family for thousands of years. Eventually, this one guy, this master, this grandmaster, he kept it in his possession, and he asked me if I wanted to see it. So after the banquet, he invited me over to his hotel in Jack London Square, and my wife and I went there, and he did some rituals, activation, and he put it in my hand, and then he activated my third eye, and all of a sudden, I just went back in time. It's like time travel. And then I saw images. I saw images of Gautama Buddha, the first Buddha, and also Master Ajahn Lee. He's a famous Thai Buddhist master. He ascended into the heavens, and he actually interacted with me later on. And of course, the Yellow Emperor. And then he did something, some kind of practice on me and my wife. And suddenly, my consciousness merged with her consciousness. It was like my soul disappeared. I became one with my wife. And then after a while, we released, and I came back to my body. She came back to her body. But it was kind of like a birth of a twin flame phenomenon, because we were having some problems before that. And after that experience, we felt so connected. My wife actually developed psychic ability after that event.
Oh, wow.
In the presence of that dragon pearl. And I'd be miles away, and she can tune into my feelings and know what's going on. So, I mean, that didn't happen before, but we both held a dragon pearl. We had this mystical experience, and then this thing happened. So there's something to it, but he's part of history. And he actually went back to China a couple of years ago with his assistant and a team of people. and they went to this cave where the Yellow Emperor did his cultivation. Some people believe he's a myth, and but he's not. He existed, and he did his spiritual practices there. So he's actual person that influenced the shape of China in terms of the healing practices. So that was kind of an interesting thing in my life.
That is really interesting. Do you think that's how you got your healing, or did it start before that when you could heal people?
Well, I think it started before that. I think a lot of, I told you about my parents being so toxic, right? So it kind of destroyed me. You know, it just made me not want to live at some point. I said, you know, how can I live like this? I've got all this abuse going on, these emotional abuse, and telling me how bad I was. And I had a learning disorder because of that. Struggled through school. And when I heard the lectures, I couldn't even understand half the time what the teachers were saying. I don't know if you remember Charlie Brown when he was attending school. And he just heard this noise when I was coming. Exactly. So I reached a point where I just wanted to give up. I just wanted to shut down. Just went through a meltdown. But because I feel like I couldn't connect to my parents. You know, they were up there. I was down here. And
Can I ask you something? Was that before or after you had that experience of being abducted? Was it your parents, or was it always like before. Before?
Yeah. I think when I was born, things were great. And then shortly after, maybe after 2 or 3 years old, that's when they started to have this really bad relationship. Mm. So it just went downhill. But finally, she broke down, and I connected with her emotionally. She cried, and she embraced me, and I felt her love. And then that inspired me to go on a journey to find meaning in life and to find the end of my suffering. So I spent many years and many decades to find the end of my suffering. So I studied everything possible, and I found it. And so I wrote that into my first book, Dare to Imagine, 18 Principles for Peace, Happiness, and True Success. So people can follow that and integrate it for their own lives to have healing as well.
Was this book or these experiences brought on by the entities that you saw? Do you think that these books came about because of that? Did they give you something telepathically? Did they help you write the books?
Are you talking about the entities, or you talking about the ETs?
The ETs or the creatures or...
Well, let's go back a little bit. When I was young, I did have a paranormal childhood. You know, I remember waking up in the middle of the night, and I see feel the entity right above me, holding me down.
Okay, now let's go up. Let's stop right there. Now, are these, is this like a sleep paralysis that you saw?
Okay. Exactly. Yeah. You can hear him breathing. Go ahead.
We were just talking about that last week, and I was telling Tom about my experience, and I said, I think they're all connected to other people, and some psychologists kind of blow it off. They say, oh, it's just something that happens during REM or whatever. Something. What did you see? Tell us what you saw.
I could see a physical thing, but I knew something was there. I could hear something breathing, and I could almost feel the breath over my chest. And I said, I'm paralyzed. I can't do anything. I'm just helpless. So I just kind of gave up because I said, that's it.
You know? They held you down?
Yeah. I was paralyzed. I couldn't do anything. And then other times I would be alone, and I would hear someone walking up the stairs. And then all of a sudden, when I get to the top, I see this thing. It's like an astral travel, just like this entity fly right through the wall. So I got freaked out. Just ran out of the house.
I don't know why.
But you know, I see those kind of things a lot when I was young, and it got me kind of fascinated with the paranormal. And I started to get into telekinesis, and I started practicing it. And I was able to start getting myself to move the chair with me sitting on it.
You could do it.
Then I told my sister, I said, why don't you try that? And both our chairs were shaking. Then after that, I freaked out and I became religious. I said, no more. God, take this power away from me.
You asked God to take the power away from you.
He took that away, but then it left some other stuff. But I mean, I've always seen entities or felt them. Even one time I was at work, I was probably... in the 80s, I was probably a young adult, and this guy was walking by. He waved his hand at me, and I waved at him, and I told the nurse, I said, oh, yeah, this so-and-so came by. He goes, did you know he died last week? And full body and everything.
Wow, that's
invisible. And then the thing that's amazing is that a couple other nursing aides also saw him too. So I wasn't the only one. So he said goodbye to different people. And I think that was his way of saying goodbye to his wife, because he used to visit his wife every day.
Yeah.
So that's when I started to realize that you know, we're not alone. That there's this whole reality. And even if you get spiritual, you get different kind of interactions with these entities.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There's a whole untapped, let's just call it an untapped market, right, of nurses and hospital professionals, Medicare, healthcare professionals, who will, if you got them one-on-one, will co-sign on all of those stories. But in a group, they won't talk about it.
Yeah.
I met many, many nurses who still see patients or see them outside of their room, and they walk in and they had passed. Or family members will come in, and here's one quick story for you. One nurse that I knew from the meetup group, she was talking about, she had a little pocket Bible that she had, and there was one gentleman in the family's like, oh, we're not religious, anything like that. She said, well, if you don't mind, if it doesn't bother you, I would like to read one thing. She pulled and just opened it up. Didn't matter. Just opened to any page, read a passage from there. He passed before she was done that little pocket sized page. And she said, everybody in there saw a white light just zoom right to the window and up and out. And she had mentioned, and she co-signed for my statement there too, that said, we'll talk about it with other nurses and techs and all that stuff back behind the counter. But when you come out and anybody asks you, we're like, no, that doesn't happen. So you even have that facade going on right there. But I just had to interject with, you know, how I believe it's much more common in hospitals when people pass that you do have that.
Very common. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
But, why don't I go back a little bit, if I can, to the Ascended Master story? Mm-hmm. It's kind of a special one because I've been very spiritual for a long time. After my healing journey, I think the thing that kind of cured me or gave me to be completely well is the spirituality, the spiritual path. And so I meditate a lot. And in the beginning, I would see ascended beings, but I would just see them. You know, it was a short time, but no, never an interaction or never an instruction. Eventually, I met this guy. His name is Peter Mount Shasta. And have you heard of him? He's like the apprentice to Saint Germain. He studied with Lady Master Pearl, who is known as the Saint of Mount Shasta. And he studied with Master Yu, who's a kind of Tibetan Buddhist master. But anyways, I was studying Reiki. Shasta, which is a mystical mountain, it's a root chakra of the planet. And when he worked on me, he opened all the chakras, and I started to connect more of the ascendant beings. But one day I was looking at his friend list on his Facebook, and this guy stood out, Peter Mount Shasta. His energy was so strong. And they called me to him and says, you know, I need to reach him. So I sent him an email. I said, hey, is it possible if I meet with you? And then he just said, yes. So I drove all the way to Mount Shasta. We met at a Lily's restaurant. A nice little chat. And the week before I went there, I got this obsession with turbans, you know, Indian turbans. The Sikh people, they wear turbans. And for some reason, I looked on eBay wanting to buy a turban. I don't know why. But after I got to his house and I realized it. And then when I got to his house, I was looking around at pictures. I said, who are these people? He said, oh, these are ascended masters. I said, oh, cool, really cool. And there was a statue of Kuan Yin there. And then there was a guy who was an Indian guy. He had like a turban. And then I said, oh, my God. Am I been obsessed with turbans? And saw this guy has a turban. And then Peter, all of a sudden, he just kind of paused for a second. And he says, the Maha Chohan, that's who the guy, the being was. He's waiting for you. I said, who? The Maha Chohan? The what? He says, in Mount Shasta, you go there. That day was really dark and cloudy. It was like snow in the mountain. I didn't even know my way around. He says, go there. And then he got another message saying that you got to go there now. I guess they're waiting for me. So then I said, okay, if they're asking me to go, I have to go. So I drove up there. And so I went up the road. It's like 45-minute drive. Got there to Bunny's flat. And it's like snow everywhere. And I saw a couple of people walking around. And I was looking. I said, well, where do I go to meet these beings? And all of a sudden, I saw a huge footprint. I don't know, was it Bigfoot or a giant bear? I said, oh, my God, you know, are they going to eat me alive? I said, well, if they want me there, they're going to protect me or something. So I just hung around looking and just tuning into my heart, you know, the energy to kind of find out where I should go. After a while, everybody left and it was like really dark because it was like it was going to rain. Then I started to meditate and suddenly these beings appeared. It was like Saint Germain and the Kuan Yin. And there was like three or four of them appeared. I say four or five of them. And they were kind of above me. And my ear activated. It's a very high-pitched sound. At the time, I didn't know what it was. But later on, I realized they called it the clairaudience. So there was activation when this mystical experience happened. And they started to attune me. It sent some energy to me. So they were shifting my energy to get me acclimated to get to where I'm supposed to be. And so when it was done, all that sound frequency went away. And then I looked up. And the whole sky, I kid you not, it was completely blue. It was completely dark before that. It was like a positive omen that this is a good thing for me. That was the birth of my mystical experience with the Ascendant Masters. Oh, and so since then, I kept up my spiritual practice and different ones would come into my life guiding me. Some would even leave like physical signs. You know, like when after Mother Mary, I had an experience one time connecting with her in a mountain. In the mountain, the energy is very pure. They say that's one of the closest places you can feel God's presence in that sacred Mount Shasta. One time I had a mystical experience with Mother Mary, and then all of a sudden when I was leaving after the experience, I was told to stop and look down. I was told to pull this rock out. It was shaped like Mother Mary. And it was not the first time, you know. I had a mystic from Philippines, and she did something called a tawa. They'll take this thing and they rub it in your body, and then she cooked it. And it turned shape in the shape of Mother Mary, too.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah,
so these are how the physical validations of the mystical experiences.
Most definitely, you're getting the energy from Mother Mary.
Yeah.
And she's I love Mary. I have my little medallions. Awesome. Blake, Kaysen wanted to know, do you do distant healing?
I do, technically I do. I try not to because I'm so busy already as it is. I'm busy with my work.
But you're pretty busy.
Yeah, I've done it. I've done people in India. I've done someone in Slovakia. And the thing is, when I do it, I have to feel it inside that it's something that it needs me to do it. So I try
to. You need to be guided to that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I usually refer to somebody else because other people, they have the time. That's how they make their living, right?
It's hard.
But when I do it, some amazing things have happened. And there was one guy had so much problems. He was had a spell cast on him, and he couldn't think. He had this whole energy stuck in his head. I kept on setting him at different people, different healers. Everybody just gave him a little bit, and finally he got so frustrated. I said, okay, I'll just go in and help you. And I did. I used all my spiritual tools, and I did meditation, and we worked with him. And as soon as I did it, cleared his mind, and he was okay. That energy was released.
It takes a lot of energy to do that. And Cindy wants to. I think we talked about this. If they think it will affect their career in medical field because so many people not believing. Has that ever happened to you? Do you think it'll affect people in the medical profession if they do that?
Wait, say again. I couldn't hear you.
She's asking, I wonder if they think it will affect their career in the medical field because so many people not believing in, I guess, that kind of healing.
Well, I mean, if you talk about it in a hospital, most hospitals would think you're crazy. They don't believe these things, you know, unless you know someone of an influence or something. But a lot of people, they just don't say what they're doing. They'll say, oh, praying. And so if you're praying, people, the doctors say, oh, well, it's not going to do anything. So go ahead and do it anyways. But most of the times they don't really believe it. You know, they're very strict with the medical model. But I would just say, call it what you want. Just call it prayer and just say, we just need some extra support. And I think people are open to that idea.
Absolutely. And Cindy, I've heard in so many words, that's exactly why many don't want to come out with it. If they see something, because it's still back to our old point from the very beginning, it's still, you know, you're crazy, you're this, you're that. And if you are a nurse or a tech or a doctor, surgeon, you have an advanced science degree. You're here to treat the human body, right? So you focusing on other things other than what was taught to you as a school would be looked at as less than. And I don't want it to come off as that way, but it almost is. You know, they don't see it in that light. But that's a very good point, Cindy, is that that's exactly where I come from. And they're not trained to be that way. They're trained to treat a symptom and not an underlying cause. And, you know, not to get theoretical or anything, but that's a big difference between Chinese medicine and then this Western medicine here is you treat the body for a disease, if you have it for a disease or, you know, a symptom. So really, you know, if you have a virus that causes a cold, they'll treat your sore throat. They'll treat your stuffy nose. They'll treat that, but they won't treat the actual biological reason what made you sick in the first place. And Kaysen, just with another point here, I have an addiction to an anti-anxiety medication. I really want to get off it. Does energy healing can heal something like that? In your experience, Blake, does energy healing help with addiction or anything in that ilk?
Well, I mean, dealing with anxiety, dealing with any kind of emotional disorder, it definitely helps because our body is energy. It's got prana energy and you got chi energy. And all the Western medicine doesn't really address that. So if you go deeper into our presence, we have all these chakras, energy vortexes in our body. Mm-hmm. And by balancing those out, you can probably decrease the dependence on medication. And it's a process, so you have to kind of slowly taper. There's a method of doing that, so you can't just stop it. So you have to work with your doctor to slowly taper it. But then at the same time, there's also a nutritional component to anxiety. There's a lot of the additives in food. So working from the nutrition side, working on the energy side, you'll get a much better outcome. And then there's also supplements you can do that are natural to help you relax. A lot of people don't realize that, you know, something like a flower essence, like the Rescue Remedy, something natural that developed by Dr. Bach in the UK, and put a couple drops of that, it kind of relaxes you. And having the right kind of minerals, like magnesium, most people are deficient of magnesium, and that causes some anxiety and stress. So if your body gets the mineral it needs, it gets the flower essence and the energy support it needs, then you can, you know, start working on slowly tapering it with your doctor's help. Because medication, if you get off something too fast, it's going to shock to your system. You have to work with your doctor and systematically weaning off of it. But the things you can do right now is watching your food, you know, watching what you eat and cut down on the carbs, the sugar. The carbs break down the sugar, and that contributes to how you feel in terms of anxiety, in terms of stress, in terms of depression and all that. So clean up the food and then do some Reiki healing, and that's a very effective for the energy part of it. Do some pranayama breathing exercises, and all that will help you as well.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff I wrote down in my third book. You mentioned two books, but I actually have three books.
And books,
I really get into detail about healing in terms of the body, the mind, the spirit, everything. And we talk about the nutrition, the supplements, the spiritual healing, the whole nine yards. We even talk about ascension. And I've interviewed like over 25 experts from around the world to give us the wisdom and healing us. So there's a lot of information out there to support you in your healing and journey.
Absolutely. And Kaysen, I want to also throw in to button that up. If you are, you know, truly struggling with addiction, reach out to as many different ways to try to fight that as possible. Don't, you know, check every single or vet every single avenue first. I don't want to say so-and-so is the only way to do it, but, you know, if you want to stop, there are ways to get off of it. I know many people who have battled that in their life and then have come out greener on the other side. But if you're looking for things, if you feel more of a emotional attachment to those type of medications, one thing you can always check off first is contact somebody who does healings and see if you have an attachment on you It's always a first stop, you know, to see, because your energy could be lessened, making you more vulnerable to anxiety attacks, and lowering your inhibitions, really. So definitely check energy healers near you, and focus on people who might do attachment cleansing and things like that. I come from a background, my father was born in Mexico. I come from a big Aztec background, and a lot of what they base beliefs on for medicine too is spiritual healing and cleansings.
Yes,
or, you know, what they call it down there. But, you know, there is something to be said about medicine who has survived the test of time, and people are still using it to this day. So definitely check in for attachments and things like that as well.
Yeah, I want to say something about what Tom just spoke about, is that there's a lot of energies going on the planet. There's energies mm-hmm. from people. And if you go to the hospital, you work in the hospital, you go to the cemetery, there's energies around. Yes. A lot of times you get negative energies, mm-hmm. and they live off of you, and they can penetrate your aura. And when they live in you, they affect how you feel and how you think. So, I mean, cleansing yourself of these energies is a good idea. And again, in my book, I have a whole chapter about energy cleansing, things you can do to get these entities out of your body. So there's help.
And prayer, too, if you're...
Oh, prayer, of course.
Absolutely,
definitely prayer. But we're coming down to the close. I don't
believe in prayers, but I tell you this. My friend of mine made a movie, and it's called the Inori. It's a Japanese film, Something Great. And he had the different scientists in there. He did studies of prayer, and people would pray from the East Coast to the West Coast and to strangers. They find that people who don't know about it, they got prayed to, they actually showed improvement compared to the control group. So mm-hmm. there is the power of prayer. So we underutilize it. We definitely use it more. Thank you, Jenny.
Most definitely.
And, Bruce, my God, that's a great answer right there.
God, can you read that for me?
Sure. Most doctors don't treat anxiety holistically and rely on only what they know, like benzodiazepines. And yes, if you're being paid by a pharmaceutical company, you're going to push
you're getting the big money, yeah.
Absolutely. So benzodiazepine is just a funny word, big word for a pill that will make you relax, and we don't really care what else it does to you. That's how I'm taking it.
No, definitely. Blake was saying is the magnesium. There's so many different kinds of magnesium that help you sleep and relax you. And
That's the magnesium glycinate.
I'm a big believer in Halo. I know that's going to, you know, if you're a Christian, and I believe in meditation. And if you're a Christian and you believe in Christ, and I just say, sir, I surrender, Jesus. Just mm-hmm. just get this anxiety off of me.
Exactly.
Take it away. Because the devil, the anxiety and fear is the devil, and he's there. He's out here. Yeah. He's everywhere, and he's trying to get as many souls as he can.
He's looking for us. That's
yes,
for sure.
He is.
Well, I mean, definitely. If you look at what's going on the planet, ultimately, that's kind of what's going on.
Yeah.
This battle between the two.
Good and evil. Exactly. Yeah. It's a battle between good and evil, and we can't let the bad side take over. I mean, I hope that doesn't happen, but it feels like it is. But anyways, I hate to cut you off. I really enjoyed this conversation. Where can people find you or learn more about your books?
My books are in Amazon, and they can contact me through Facebook. I'm Blake Sinclair, or I'm on Instagram, Sir Blake Sinclair_author.
Well, it was such a pleasure to have you with us tonight. I really appreciate it.
Have a good time. Thank you.
Bless you and have a great rest of the night. And hopefully we can have you on again.
Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much for joining us, everyone. Okay. Great. He was great. I loved it.
Yeah, he was wonderful, wasn't he?
Yeah, I was. There's a lot of things.
I wouldn't have told that it was only a second time. He seemed much.
God. No, he seems like, I think you have that gift. If you have the gift, you can articulate what you need to say. And he did wonderful. He did wonderful. So,
yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to, when you're on, looking at Kaysen's, he just posts exactly. Yeah. He's tapering down. Yes, it's so hard. It's, thank you so much. It was a great show. And I'm glad you tuned in.
Yeah. Great comments. Great questions.
When I was in my early 20s, I had anxiety attacks so bad. I mean, I was having them in the grocery store. I was having them with my kids, and it was horrible. It's hard. And I think the best thing that I did was doing like self hypnosis. And there's so many YouTube videos that you can go on there. There's so many YouTube videos on how to clear your chakras too. Mm-hmm. So it's something to look into.
Binaural sounds and things like that. One thing, and you know, we always got to leave with a bang or whatever, but I've heard that somebody that I've talked to in my travels was making the claim that there's many more spirits on the earth now.
And then because they opened up CERN, that's why.
well, I mean, maybe not that, but what they were saying was too many people are dying too quickly, and they're not knowing that they're dead to cross over into the light. And that could be what is hampering the living's energy to allow for much more depression, anxiety, things like that.
So these people are dying young, but they don't know they're dead?
Yeah, which is, I mean, utterly tragic in one sense and so sad. But yeah, that there's a backup here on Earth, almost like a different type of pandemic. And yeah, I know. I don't want to even go there.
Pandemic is I don't know. I don't want to even go there, because I hear so much stuff about even people with a vaccine, and there's some people are still pushing the vaccine, and people are still getting it. And so many people are dying from it, and they don't want to talk about it. And it's scary.
It's scary what they can mandate and push out and definitely like that. Bruce, back with a comment. Now, I also know that people should tap it their DNA. DNA does define the medicines that work best for individuals. That's a very good point. I personally have done a DNA genome background, whatever you want to call it. So if any one of my relatives commit a murder, they'll come and ask me who it is, you know, how they do that now too.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Do you know that?
No.
Yeah.
What do you mean? If you do like ancestry.
If you do Ancestry, 23andMe, whatever the other one is.
Oh my God.
They have near DNA. So if one of my relatives committed a crime and there's DNA evidence, they are now legally able to go into that data bank, run that DNA. And even if it wasn't that person, it would bring up their family. They can really narrow it down.
I shouldn't have did that. I did it.
Well, I did it too, but when we did it, it wasn't even a thing. So, but yeah, are people really connecting to past loved ones as they lost so many? So that's a really good question. And well, to put a button on Bruce, yes, I believe that DNA, you know, what's going to be on yours might not be the same as me, you know, so what works best on you might not work best on me. I totally understand that. To get better medicines. Yes, I agree. I mean, I think it'll get to that point where you might have to not carry a card, but you'll have your genomes inputted into whatever database hospital you go to, and they can track that. I think that's not too far away. Yeah, I do believe also people are connecting to past loved ones because they've lost so many, because the distance isn't as far, right? I don't think it's as far as it has been in the past. When you enter a dream state, your vibration is heightened. And if you can connect with somebody on the next plane, I think there can be that cross and you can connect, and maybe not right away, because we don't remember every dream. Right. So I think that is something that, could definitely happen. I see how the science could work behind that.
And Kaysen says, question about binary beats, please.
Binaural beats.
Some people say the beats alone cannot affect you, and you need something like EMF to affect your body. Any comments? I never heard that about the EMFs. But I guess EMF, well, I would ground myself, believe it or not, Tom and Kaysen. I use a grounding mat when I sleep. Yes, I'm all into earthing. I'm an earther. Yeah. I'm an earther.
Yeah.
I'm a barefoot freak.
Should we start that trend, a ground earther?
I'm an earther. I'm a grounder. I think you should. Definitely, so. If you have any kind of anxiety, it actually, if your EMF readings are high on your body, because you get it from your phones. I even have, I know yes. you guys think I'm crazy. I have an EMF protector on my phone. It goes, I like it's that. All no, over. Yeah. And I have one. I actually have a glove. I know I'm a freak. I have a glove that I hold at night when I'm on the phone because I fall asleep with it in my hand. And I totally believe EMFs. But the only thing is, there's so much around you. I mean, I have lights in here. I got these wild.
You're exactly right. See them.
I have pink and purple lights, and I have my camera. I have my mic. I have my computer. I have my EMF grounder. My mat under my feet. So I have it everywhere. I totally think this would help you. I think you should try it, Kazem. Go out and bit one. You can get them on Amazon. They're not that cheap. I mean, they're cheap, but they're not cheap, cheap. I mean, the Mind Glass, oh, geez, I've had it for a while. And you can even test it to see if it works. They have these little connectors that you can. And I know this sounds crazy. You're going to think I'm a nut. If you are near a tree, okay, if you want to heal your anxiety, go find a tree. I don't care where you're at, put your hands on that tree, because the roots are connected to the earth and there's so much healing. And if you think of it this way, I always say the tree's branches and limbs are like antennas to heaven. It'll pull you and it'll get rid of it. I want you to try it. Try it. And then let me know. It really works. I think you have another question from Bruce. We do know the EMF is being used. Oh my God. Their EMFs are everywhere, huh, Tom? They're everywhere. And so are the chemtrails.
Yeah. Yes. The EMF. Look, can we just go back to EMF being where a ghost was and we have that little K2? Can we just do that? I mean, why do we have to have it weaponized? You have a sound in Cuba that's making people throw up. What the hell's that about? You know, like, well, I don't know about EMF directly, but I can assure you, if binaural beats, we're all vibrating energy. That's what we are. We are observing ourselves as matter based on vibrational patterns. So, course, Kason, when you have when you talk about binaural beats, if you have something vibrating into you with those, it's going to be a lot more of it.
Most definitely. And I think it was a great show tonight. So if you guys welcome Tom, he's our new co-host. Hopefully he'll stick around.
I will. And you stuck with me, sorry.
Next week we have a really good guest coming on. Mary, I think her name is Mary Beth. Mary Beth. She's into something happened after death. So I think that's, she went to hell. I think that's what it is. I can't remember.
Oh, that's exciting. She went to hell.
She went to heaven.
Leslie.
No, I have Leslie Shaw's next Leslie week. Shaw. Next week. Yeah. It should be a good show.
Oh, get ready, people, because we're going to have some good questions.
Yeah, so hopefully you can turn on and I have an echo. And sorry, I couldn't log in early. Nice job. Thank you, Bruce. Hope to see you next week.
Appreciate same time. It. Yeah,
7 p.m. Right, 7 p.m. Eastern. You all have a nice night, and thank you for tuning into Chasing Prophecy.
Bye, everybody.
Take it easy.